Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Courtney Watoon, Wealth Service Advisor for Allen Becker Investment Group. And today I'm joined by Sarah McGuire, Director of Marketing for Allen Becker. And we're going to be talking about a topic that we're both very excited about, pets. And more specifically, pet costs, preparing, and community outreach. Thanks for joining me today, Sarah.
I'm so excited to be here with you, Courtney. As you know, I've been with EIG for, just about 4 years. And I think that whole time you and I have always been talking about animals and our pets. And so I'm excited to be doing that with you here today.
Why don't you talk a little bit about kind of your experience with pets and maybe any community outreach that you do just so that the community knows.
Sure. No, absolutely. So I have grown up with pets my entire life, primarily dogs. So they've been a part of my family all these years. I went through a period of time where out of college, I was living, you know, by myself downtown Milwaukee in a little apartment that did not allow pets. So that actually prompted me to become a volunteer at the Wisconsin Humane Society. I started dog walking there and just to get my fix every week. And I'm in my 17th year now as a volunteer there. And so it's just such a wonderful organization. Like I said, it gives you your animal fix every week. And I should mention, I'm definitely not here as a representative from the Wisconsin Humane Society today, even though I do that sometimes. But I've learned so many great things from them in my time over the years. So excited to talk about that today.
That's going to be great. That's going to be a lot of really valuable information as we go through this podcast today. But before we get started on our first topic, which we want to talk about pet costs, what to kind of plan for and prepare for, I want to tell a personal story about how in my family, pet costs have changed over the last few decades. My parents, full disclosure, know I'm telling this story, but we had a dog, Lady, who was our first golden. My parents had her a year before I was born, so it was our family dog. And when I was in fifth grade, she got sick, and unfortunately, we all had she had to be put down. So the day she was getting put down, my sister and I cut off some of her fur to keep. And then my dad was going to bring back her ashes and we were going to have a whole ceremony. So we go to school, we come home, do a beautiful ceremony, bury her ashes. My sister and I write poems, you know, all the thing. We're all young kids. Find out a few years ago that the ashes that we buried were from our fireplace and not our dog's ashes.
Oh, no.
And the reason is just because my parents did not want to pay the $150 to get a Lady's ashes back, which is very funny now because the dog that they just recently had, Annie, they've probably spent more medically on her than they ever spent on me. So it really shows how animals have now become really ingrained in people's lives, have become their kids, essentially. So I think it's really important for planning for those costs is really important. So do you want to touch on maybe, especially with some experience at the Humane Society, of some of the initial costs that people can kind of think about, be prepared for, and some pros and cons of where they get their pets from?
Sure. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I would love to. And what a story. But I get it. Funny. I mean, through the decades, pets have really changed who they are in our family, right? I'm on my second personal dog, and there really is a lot to think about before you welcome a pet into your home. You know, certainly, where are you going to get the pet from? I, of course, am a huge advocate of adopting from a shelter, but certainly a reputable breeder is another option. So that's kind of the that initial cost that you're going to want to think about is how much are you going to pay to adopt or purchase that pet? And then, you know, along with that, you're looking at those initial vet visits, the vaccinations, spay neuter surgery, getting microchipped. So I will say, the Wisconsin Humane Society, when you adopt a pet, they do come spayed or neutered and then microchipped and vaccinated. So all of those costs are included in your adoption fee, which is lovely. Because I will say, my last dog came to me as a rehome, my current dog, and she was not spayed yet. And so that was new to me mm-hmm. to have to go through that process. And I mean, that's no small cost. It varies depending on where you go, but it's no small cost. Yep. So those are things you definitely want to keep in mind. Of course, along with the standard, you know, the dishes and the beds and the toys and all the toys. Yes, all the toys.
And the treats.
And the treats. Yes, you can't forget that. No. Yeah,
they will not let you forget that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the costs that maybe people don't think about are obviously those unexpected costs, the surgeries, the illness, long-term care for depending on their breed and that part of it. So that's something that clients ask us about a lot on, you know, how do we manage that?
Sure.
And we'll talk a little bit later on in the segment about some of them. But, you know, pet insurance is a big thing. I actually got pet insurance for my cats from listening to a podcast that you did, Sarah, a while ago with the owner of Aquatherapy Pets or Dogs.
Aquatherapups.
Yeah. She touched on, I was hemming and hawing on, do I want to get pet insurance for these mm-hmm. kittens that I just got? And she really talked about kind of how it has helped other mm-hmm. people. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to get it. And yeah. I'm glad I did.
Right.
I've used it.
Already. Oh. And your cats are fairly young.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So. I had to use it on my female cat. Come to find out, she had indigestion.
Oh.
But having that pet insurance was really great to have from that standpoint. But there's other things that are out there with financing. Not mm-hmm. that I'm encouraging credit cards from a financial standpoint, but they are good in an emergency. And there's a lot of great ones that have 0% financing and stuff for periods of time that I don't think people really realize. You know, kind of circling back to how pets have become so ingrained in our lives, mm-hmm. I think the financial world has also seen that too and has made some adjustments.
Well, and I'll add, I mean, I think it's fabulous that you even talk to your clients about this. I mean, certainly before working at EIG, I probably would have been a little more fly by the seat with my pants, like, let's get another dog. But really being mindful of that, I think that's great, that's something that you do with your clients and help them out. And I know we can talk more about that later, of course. But
when you think about costs, I did a Google search, and on average, you know, dogs on the high end can be anywhere for about $200 a month, and cats about $140 a month. So being ready for that is really important for people to feel prepared.
Sure. Oh gosh, I wish my situation was $200 a month. I think important, like you said, you just know yourself as what you're going to be like as a pet owner, because I'm way over that. Yeah. But you know, if you're prepared, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say my cats, you know, cats are easy. Cats, sure. Cats are not normally monthly basis. So, you know, some months they're nothing. Other months when my subscriptions come in, you know, for the litter and for the food, you know, then the costs go up. But for them, they average out a little bit more. But I know, like, that's probably pretty accurate for dogs just because they require a little bit more. So sure. Knowing what type of pet maybe fits into your family and your budget is important, too. And I also want to tell people we're kind of mainly focusing on cats and dogs.
Yeah.
But being prepared for rabbits or lizards or snakes.
Birds. Oh, like birds. Birds are, you know, they live a long time. So, yeah, it's unique to every pet, but definitely ways to prepare for each.
Yeah. Cats and dogs are the most common. Yeah. So that's kind of our focus and our niche. But, you know, being prepared for any type of pet is super important.
Definitely.
Well, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about being prepared for a pet.
Ellenbecker Investment Group is officially launching our brand new program, The Wealth Seed. This program is designed to give you high-quality financial guidance tailored to your stage of saving, no matter your experience level. As part of this program, you'll get a growing library of short, easy-to-understand financial podcasts, monthly educational emails, interactive workshops, and curated tools like book and media recommendations. Plant your wealth seed today and start growing with us at ellenbecker.com/thewealthseed.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Courtney Watoon, Wealth Service Advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. And today I'm joined by Sarah McGuire, Director of Marketing for Ellenbecker. And our next section, we're going to talk about planning and being prepared for a pet. So, Sarah, what are some of the things that people should think about that's important when planning or getting prepared for a pet?
Oh, gosh. Well, first things first, take a look at your household and take a look at your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Different pets bring different dynamics into your home. Different pets need different exercise, mm-hmm. need more time commitment than others, maybe. Some dog breeds or some dog, based on their age, mm-hmm. might be a little less active than others. So if you're someone who, say, doesn't like the idea of going for, you know, a couple 30-plus minute walks daily, maybe keep that in mind and mm-hmm. don't get yourself a young pup or a very active dog. So I always encourage people to kind of start there. And, of course, then work with your financial advisor, such as yourself, and make sure that before you do enter into that, that you are financially prepared. So,
yeah. Sometimes I wish I would have gotten that advice when I decided to get kittens.
Yes.
As cute as they are, and as much as I love my two little babies, I didn't know their personalities. I didn't know what type of animal they were going to be. Mm-hmm. And my male cat, which everyone in this office has heard of many times, all know that he's very vocal. And mm-hmm. again, I love him dearly, not at 4 a.m. But had I gotten a little bit older cats and known kind of what their personality was, I probably would have avoided that. But again, I still wouldn't have my two babies. So I don't regret it. But that is advice I give people now about yep. thinking of those types of things. While puppies and kittens are really cute, mm-hmm. you don't know what you're going to get versus a little bit older animal.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I mentioned my current dog that I have mm-hmm. came to us as a rehome. And she came from a lovely family. They were great. And they had her best interests at heart, certainly. But doodle puppies are cute. And they got her at 3 months old. And my gosh, people are not necessarily prepared for doodles are very popular right now, just how much energy mm-hmm. and time they need exercising and really being stimulated out and about, be yeah. it with just new spaces or smells or people or what have you. So I'm really being prepared for
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It's lifestyle important. Is really important. I mean, my husband is a dog person, loves dogs. I love dogs too, grown up with them. But we live in a two-story condo with no yard. And so sure. for us, a dog didn't make sense because he would want a bigger dog. That's sure. just what his family grew up with. And so that's why we settled on cats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that is a really big thing I think people need to think about, is not only their lifestyle, but what animal can kind of fit into there, and really doing the research. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's going to make the pairing very successful, and hopefully not having to be in a rehome situation or having to return the animal, which again, any rescue will take back their animal.
Correct.
Reputable and rescue.
Reputable rescues, reputable breeders, yes. you know, and that's why it's so important that you're doing your research ahead of time of where you are getting your animal from. Because if you do, you know, circumstances yes. change, you of course want to go into that relationship thinking that for the next 15 years, give or take, mm-hmm. you're going to be with this animal. You know, God forbid situations yeah. change. You want to make sure that you've adopted them from a rescue who says, bring them back. Mm-hmm. No questions asked. Or same with a breeder. So yeah. very important.
Yeah. And we're going to touch a little bit in our next segment about some community outreach if people fall on hard times, because I don't think that gets talked about a lot. But definitely entering in it thinking the 15, 20 plus year commitment, especially for cats. I'm fairly certain our cats are going to live to 20 just because.
They'll live forever.
They're going to live forever. Smokes is going to be yelling at me, 19 years old at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I love it.
Yep.
He's the cutest little guy in the entire world. I love them both dearly. I just may not like them every day, much like your children in general.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's fair. And, you know, I think that that's important to think about yeah. too. Like when you bring a new animal or animals, plural, home, like in your case, you have to make sure that you're allowing for that adjustment time, mm-hmm. not only for them, but for the people, mm-hmm. right? So it's at least a week. And I think a week's really on the low end. Yeah. I know that there's a saying like 3 days, three weeks, 3 months. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so really before that 3 month period, we had some ups and downs yeah. when we brought Betty into our home. And, you know, certainly happy that we waited it out with her. It's turned out lovely.
Yeah.
But you do have to prepare for that time and know that it could take some time to transition. The whole family.
Yes. Yes. And well, that's why it's important for the whole family to meet the animal and just, again, make sure they fit in. And kind of touching a little bit on, you know, things to think about as if you get an older pet, some of those possible expenses that could come in, or if you're needing to socialize your pet. My cats could have used some socialization. I don't know if there is any for cats, but I know there is for dogs. And I think Betty goes to a doggy daycare every once in a while, right?
She does, yeah. She goes twice a week. And socialization was a huge part of kind of her plan when we brought her home. So between the doggy daycare that she does twice a week, we make a very concerted effort. We have Sunday fun day with Betty.
Aww.
And it usually involves taking her to some sort of dog friendly establishment. It happens to usually be like a beer garden or a brewery, because they tend to be a little more dog friendly than some other businesses. You know, you don't really have to twist my husband in my arm to do that, but really planning for that sort of thing, because you talk about expenses earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Doggy daycare, I mean, that's something that we work into our budget on a monthly basis, just to make sure that Betty does have that socialization on a regular basis.
Yeah, and that's super important, again, for the dog, for the people. And you guys are social people, so you needed a dog that was also social.
Yeah, that's a great point, Courtney, truly, because and great thing about rescues, and two, you said getting an older animal, you know their personality a little more, but a reputable rescue is really going to work with you and make sure that your family's lifestyle fits with what they know about that animal. For example, one of the things that I do for the Wisconsin Humane Society is the Pet of the Week segments. So I get to go and pick up, you know, a puppy or a kitten or sometimes an older cat or older dog. Take them for a car ride and show them to the world on TV and get them adopted, right? Very exciting. Some animals handle the car much better than others.
Oh, yeah.
And so people always say to me, how do you not take them all home? And I'm like, well, some things to consider, right? Like, I want my dog to be able to go on car rides with me, come to the office with me like Betty does here. And a dog who's not comfortable in the car, I would have to honor that, but that would be very different from the lifestyle I'm used to.
Yeah, on that. So yeah, speaking of car, my cats do not do well in the car.
No.
But again, I wish they could have been like the cool adventure cats who can go on a leash and go outside and, you know, I make Instagrams and they become famous, and that's just not them.
No.
And the only times they go on a car ride is to the vet, so they've associated that with not fun times.
Sure.
So that's how I'm just where I'm at with them. But again, animals, they bring me joy. They bring me joy.
Same
on that part. Well, switching gears a little bit, when we talk about financial preparedness for our pet, when we work with clients, we teach them to practice what they need to live on for retirement, you know, years before, just to see, is it doable? Do we need to make adjustments? And so I recommend that for clients too, with thinking about getting a pet. Practice setting aside, maybe it's $100 a month, maybe it's $200 a month, and seeing if it fits in your budget. You could also put it into an investment account on the side and have it invested in a fund that is going to earn you money. So one, you're saving for yourself. And two, it's kind of setting things aside for an emergency should you get a pet.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. Instead of getting pet insurance, you know, not everyone believes in paying a premium for pet insurance.
Sure.
And I can make an argument for either side.
Sure.
I can make the argument if I could have just been putting that money I'm paying into premiums for my cat's insurance into an investment account and probably have earned enough to cover what I've used it for.
Yep.
But for me, it's just easy. It fits in my budget from that standpoint. So either way, but if you're not going to do like a pet insurance, putting it into an investment account is a great alternative. Because again, it's there if you need it for yourself, for your pet, and anything in between.
That's brilliant advice. Sorry to jump in, but I have to say that is brilliant advice. I don't have the financial mind that you have. And I certainly didn't have anyone like you in my life when I adopted my first dog. Mm-hmm. And she came from the Wisconsin Humane Society with a month of free pet insurance.
Oh, nice.
I thought that was fabulous, mm-hmm. right? But she was 5 months old. She was this vibrant little puppy. And, it's fine. I don't need to continue that. Like an extra expense each month. I wouldn't have even thought about setting money aside in an investment account. That's not, you know, where my mm-hmm. brain went. I know now, thankfully. But as Tula aged, I incurred some very costly vet mm-hmm. bills with her. She had an emergency surgery that was $10,000, yeah. and she was the love of my life. And so I was going mm-hmm. to pay for that no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Went on a credit card. Not too smart. Certainly have learned that lesson. But that's why, gosh, like I said, if I would have had someone like you in my life back then, I would have been so prepared, whether it was still having that pet insurance or having that money set aside in case of emergency.
And like I said, I decided to get mine from listening to a podcast that we have a couple short podcasts on our Wealth Seed from a high level talking about pet insurance. Can mm-hmm. I afford a pet? So we have a lot of great resources now overall. I look back, my sister had pet insurance on her dogs, and ended up her second dog, Apollo, got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up, it was wonderful, same situation. He had a surgery. It was, $10,000. And to her, it was only a few $100 out of pocket.
Sure.
So, but her other dog, Rocky, she's never used it on. So it's kind of that give and take of what makes sense financially and what fits in. And if you don't want to commit it to the insurance piece, committing to an investment piece, or even just savings, really, I think would make people feel like, yeah, this will fit. This, I feel good. I feel confident that this is going to fit into our lifestyle, into my cash flow and my budget.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I want people to plan for the day-to-day. Emergencies are going to happen. And there are different ways. Like I said, there's financing. You can work with your vet. I saw something on Instagram from a vet in California talking about, tell your vet your budget. If you're bringing your animal in, yeah, and you don't know what's wrong with them, and it's not something like a broken leg or something
sure,
like that, but
sure.
you think they might have an illness, letting them know, like, I have this amount of money that I can afford, mm-hmm. and they should be able to come up with a treatment. I don't think most people know that you can do that.
Absolutely, I had never heard that. That's great to know. I mean, my gosh, I guess it makes sense, but yeah, and to have a vet that is suggesting that and is willing to work with you, mm-hmm. you know that they have your animal's best interest at heart.
Yeah. And, if you try this and you feel like, a pet's not going to fit into my lifestyle right now, there are alternatives to maybe not getting a pet, but, you could foster.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Fostering. I have yet to do it myself, mm-hmm. but I will tell you that's something that we encourage so much at the Wisconsin Humane Society, even if it's just for a few mm-hmm. days. I hear a lot of people say, oh, gosh, I could never do that. I would hate to see the animal then leave. Every organization is different. I know at WHS, if you are a foster to an animal, you have first dibs mm-hmm. if you would like to adopt them, which is great. But even if that's not in the cards, being a foster, giving that animal time out of the shelter, mm-hmm. that's incredible. Getting them used to a home environment. Maybe it's a litter of kittens and you're, helping nurse them because they don't have their mama or whatever the mm-hmm. case may be. That's such a wonderful way to have an animal in your life and really get that fix while giving back.
Yeah. I would love to foster. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Smokes would not have it. He would probably be hiding
sure.
all the time. But who knows? Maybe it will bring him out. I volunteer at Haws 1 hour a week to cuddle cats and socialize mm-hmm. cats. And people will say to me, even just doing that, they're like, how do you not take them home? And I'm like, you'd be surprised at the turnover, or you're seeing how the behavior is in the animal, and you're like, oh, that wouldn't fit. You're really cute.
Right.
I'm having a lot of fun with you for this hour, but I don't think you fit in a lifestyle. But
right.
That's another way to get the animal fix. All the rescues, the Humane Society, Haws, all of them are looking for people to volunteer to dog walk,
mm-hmm.
to cuddle their cats. I mean, Haws has small critters and there's critter cuddling. They have a horse sanctuary for people and they can help volunteer out at the barn and work with horses. So there's just a lot of different opportunities for people just in general, either way, the fostering or the volunteering. And then you also have people who make a business out of it with nowadays with Rover.
True. Yes. You can watch a dog or other animal in your home while their owners are traveling, or use it as a resource as well while you're traveling. So yeah, that's a good thought as well.
Yeah. My sister has used Rover a lot. She has two pit bulls. So, you know, not a lot of places will take them.
Sure.
Plus they're just better in their home anyways,
right,
overall. And so she's used Rover many a times in multiple states and has loved it. And you end up kind of getting that same person. And then it's a great income source for people to make a little extra money, or you can make it your full-time job nowadays. It's just so great.
Yeah. Well, and even so many, you know, you mentioned the podcast I did a couple of years ago with Becky from Aquatherapups. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, a whole nother business, but you know, that's swim therapy for dogs. Cats do that as well, believe it or not. They they do have some regular cat clients
in the water.
right. So yeah, I mean, there are a lot of opportunities to get involved with animals, even if you can't have one at home yourself.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some community outreach resources.
Want to keep building wealth that aligns with your values? New episodes of Money Sense drop weekly. Subscribe now and continue learning how your money, your choices, and your life can work together.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Courtney Mattoon, Wealth Service Advisor for Ellen Becker Investment Group, and I'm joined today by Sarah McGuire, Director of Marketing for Ellen Becker Investment Group. Now, Sarah, community outreach. Not a lot of people realize there's resources, especially if they fall on hard times. What are some that you know of, especially with your work with the Wisconsin Humane Society?
Oh, yeah. So many great opportunities. I always tell people about this, as if they'll listen, of course. So the Wisconsin Humane Society has a spay-neuter clinic in West Allis. And so that provides affordable spay-neuter surgery. That can be a real limitation to some pet owners, depending on the vet that you go to. I mean, sometimes you're looking at upwards of $600, $800 to get a dog spayed.
Yeah.
So certainly things like that are definitely worth checking out. And then at each of our campuses, we also do vaccine clinics where you can bring your animal in for low cost vaccines as well as microchipping. So other organizations offer that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely worth checking those things out. And if you were to fall in hard times, as you mentioned, we have a pet food pantry. So if you're running low on food, or maybe you're, you know, not able to make the bills that week and you need to feed your animal because they're a part of your family, you can reach out to a place like the Wisconsin Humane Society to get assistance with that as well.
Yeah. I actually just saw too, I got an email from Petco, and they were offering low-cost microchipping.
Ah.
And I know I see signs every once in a while on the one that's local here for vaccines and stuff too. And I was like, oh, I don't know if a lot of people realize that those resources are available.
Mm-hmm.
I know at Haws they do like low-cost nail clipping, and they don't have a food pantry per se because they are totally based on donations that they get. But I know anything that they can give out for free, they have the little basket of stuff sometimes so there's a lot of resources that are out there, even just locally, to keep the animal in your home, because that's ultimately the goal. People obviously love their pets. We're in a time right now where we're seeing a higher influx in rescues over the United States because people can't or feel like they cannot afford their pet and don't know what resources to rely on. So it's really important to highlight just the different areas they can go to. I know there's, you know, you talk about the spay neuter clinic. With Madison has a lot of resources with the UW. My parents took advantage of UW when their dog Annie needed her ACL surgery, which costs a lot less than going directly to her vet.
Right. And still getting amazing care.
Oh,
like UW is known for their veterinary program. And so it's like you're still getting that quality care and getting it for a little less, you know, which is great.
Yeah. And so just knowing that that's out there, I think, is really important for people. I also, when I was doing my research for this, was amazed at the amount of grants that are available online.
That's incredible.
Like, it was there's one called like Bow Wow Buddies and Rover Relief. And it was just, and some of them are small grants and a lot of them are rebates and stuff. So we understand that maybe you have to finance for a period of time, but there's just ways you can get a little bit back here and there. Cause their also goal is to make sure that their pets can get taken care of.
And it's important to remember, you know, we're talking about Haws and Wisconsin Humane Society, and people think of those like, oh, they help animals. Well, they're really there to help the people who love them as well.
Yep.
And so it is, I can speak for ours, you know, it is their goal to keep the animals with their families. And so they do provide help. And it's, I had never heard of the grants until you told me about that. So it's that's exciting to know that there's even that extra help available out there.
I just Googled like pet care, or I forget exactly the wording, but it was like grants for helping when you have low income.
Sure.
Was kind of the general Google search I was doing. And what's nice is it filters it locally to where you are.
Sure.
So again, a lot of our research and the things we're talking about is a little more located to Milwaukee, Madison area, but there's obviously resources throughout Wisconsin and in all the states, because keeping that family unit, which includes your pet,
together
is the most important piece.
Absolutely.
Well, before we wrap up, I want to make sure to touch on estate planning for your pet. It's really important to put in either your documents or within just your personal property who's going to take over if something happened to you, and probably setting aside a little bit of money for whoever does.
Sure.
We have clients who have done that within their trust documents, so it's becoming more of common for people to do that. And I know there's also resources online to make sure you kind of have that lineage, because I think when we were talking, you mentioned that that does happen quite often where an animal is coming back into the shelter because someone passed away and
they don't have family to take care of them. Yep, absolutely.
So not only financially preparing, but estate planning is really important for your pets.
Definitely. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on Money Sense. We hope today's conversation made a meaningful difference in your personal and financial well-being. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, before we plan, before we advise, and before we invest, we listen. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member. And be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.